This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So as always, I start off with the Islamic greeting of peace, mercy and blessings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you all for coming. The topic of today is Jesus is a Muslim. We chose this topic for a reason. It's very controversial. And actually, when I was proposing this for the university, they asked if I should get security. And I said no. The guest speaker. His name is Dr. Reda Badir. He has a lot of credentials, so I'm just going to read it off the sheet just a little bit. He has a PhD with Al-Azhar University. Now, we all know that Al-Azhar University, or at least some of us know, is the leading Islamic school, right? Leading Islamic studies in the world right now. He currently serves as an instructor in the Interdisciplinary Studies Program of Religious Studies at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. He is an ex-instructor and a Muslim chaplain at another university, the University of Calgary and Mount Royal College. He's an associate professor at Al-Azhar University, chairman of the English Department, Faculty of Humanities for Women at the Al-Azhar University again. He is a UN, United Nations interpreter, and a translator. He's a Muslim consultant and a marriage officer. He is a life coach, whatever that is. I can keep going. But that would be doing injustice to him because I'm taking up his time. Without further ado, I give you Dr. Reda Badir.
First of all, I'd like to thank the MSA students at the University of Western Ontario. Recently, it's going to be the Western University, as I heard. And for inviting me, and I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. And let me reiterate what the president of the MSA mentioned at the very beginning, that when we choose the topic, in no way we are meant to offend anyone, directly or indirectly. And I think maybe in 10 to 15 minutes, those who are sitting now and they hate me, they might change their mind. So, let's just move the topic. That's the best way to do it. So tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus is a Muslim. What do we mean by that? Before we go on, let me just try to establish some common grounds. When we say Muslim, what does it mean? When we say Islam, do we all have the same understanding or not? And from there we'll continue. Does anybody agree to what you see now? Do you all agree that there is a creator? Raise your hands. Wow, that's amazing. Okay. So it's logical that behind every creation there is a creator. And that made my life easier to go to the next one. So when we say creator, there are creation. All of us in this room here are the creation of the Creator. Yes or yes?
Yes.
This is called Egyptian democracy. Okay. When the Creator created the creation, there must be a purpose, right? All of you came here tonight for a purpose. I'm sure that, you know, it's cold, choose to come out and come here. You have a purpose. Some of you are coming to challenge me, and I like that. Some of you are coming to share with me, and I like that. Some of you are coming to learn, and I like that. Even I'm willing to learn from you too. So, everything we do in life, whether it's very small or it's very big, there's always a purpose behind it. So when we talk about the Creator, is there a purpose behind His creation? Say yes or yes.
Yes.
Which yes, the first, the second, or both? Can't see smiling. That's good. Okay, so there is a purpose. What's the purpose of our creation? I just need to interact with you. Somebody can raise their hand. What's the purpose of our creation? Why did God create us? Anybody wants to share? Yes, please. To worship Him. But this is still a very vague word, to worship Him. To some people, when you say worship, the first thing that comes to their minds is ritual. Just to pray, to fast, right? But the word worship is more than that. It's a very generic word. And the best definition that I have come across is it's an all-inclusive term of everything the person does or even says to please the Creator. Yes, please.
Well, I'm just going to say so we could acknowledge His handiwork.
His handiwork.
Acknowledge His handiwork and then reciprocate and give thanks.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's also a tradition. Okay. Now, is there any way of communication between the Creator and the creation? There must be. And that's what the Quran says. That when God created the creation, there is a purpose. And for them to understand the purpose of their life, there must be some sort of communication. And that communication will happen logically through somebody to be sent to them. And he must be called, when we send somebody with a message, we call him a messenger. A messenger. So this is how the communication happened. And whatever he would reveal to them, it would be written in a book. So the communication happened through messengers and prophets, and whatever was revealed to them was written down, sometimes recited. This is why we have two words. We have Al-Kitab, that which is written, and we have Al-Qur'an, as Muslims, that which is recited. And these are the two forms of the book that was revealed to Muhammad, peace be upon him, and peace be upon all the prophets. The next question would be, do you know how many prophets were sent? Anybody know? Let's take some guess. Yes.
Over 124,000.
MashaAllah. Where's my candy? This is my system, always in my classes, but I owe you a candy. So that's great. 124,000 prophets since the beginning of creation. And to start with, it was Adam. 124,000 prophets. Amongst them, there are messengers. And there's a big difference between a messenger and a prophet. A messenger was sent with a message, and a prophet follows the same message of a messenger. And the best example would be Moses and Harun. So Moses was a messenger, and Harun followed the same message of Moses. And now, we can say every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Do you agree with me or agree? Thank you. Okay, so how many messengers amongst these 124,000 prophets? There were 315, according to a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. 315 of them are messengers. Now, how many of them are mentioned in the Quran? 25 are mentioned by name in the Quran. 25 are mentioned by name in the Quran. Starting with Adam going through Noah, you know, we have, you know, Solomon, David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and one of the names of Jacob also is Israel. As we say, the people of Israel, meaning the people of Jacob, peace be upon him. And out of respect, when any one of them is mentioned, the Muslims will always say, peace be upon him. So 25 of them are mentioned in the Quran by name. Yet, 5 of them are very special. They are given a special title in the Quran. They're called Ulul Azm, people of commitment. All of them, of course, were people of commitment, but these 5 were fought by their people and they were expelled from their own places. And they are Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace be upon them. These 5 are given that special title in the Quran. Yet Jesus, peace be upon him, is very unique in many ways. When you study Jesus in the Quran, and when you study his mother Mary, peace be upon her, you'll find that he's very unique in many ways. In fact, I'm going to share miracles that Muslims believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, came up with that are not in the Bible. You'll be amazed to know that. I'm challenging you. But the main question before we go on, and this is going to bring us closer now, what did prophets and messengers call for? What did they call for? We said there's a creator, we all agreed on that at the very beginning. Am I right or right? No, I need interaction, please, okay? I'm talking to you, not at you. Am I right or right? First one, second of the whole. Perfect. So we all agree that there's a creator and there's creation. And the creator communicated with the creation through messengers. And whatever was revealed to them was in books. So why? We said now we answered why did God send prophets and messengers, but what were they calling for? And I'm going to quote a gentleman who gave me the answer. He said something very nice. He said, we have to acknowledge the existence of God and be grateful to him and do things that will show that gratitude. For example, if I were to take off $100 and give it to each one of you now. Did I bring the money? No, it's not with me now. Okay. Once you get the $100, what would be your reaction? You would say, come on. Thank you, right? What does that mean? Gratitude, right? What if I give you one of my eyes? How much gratitude would you pay me back? I'm sure it's a lot, right? What if someone who gave you life, how much gratitude does he deserve from you? It's God, the Creator. So God the Creator sent the messengers so that people know who he is, acknowledge his blessings, and be grateful to him and worship him. But I'm going to specify something. Worship him and someone else with him, or worship him alone. That is the main thing here. So, all prophets came to tell people one thing. Submit to God. Acknowledge his blessings upon you and obey him. Let me use the first word again. Submit to God. And the noun from the word submit is submission. Does anybody here can translate from English into Arabic? Raise your hands. I'm sure there are lots of people here. Perfect. What's the meaning of submission in Arabic?
Islam.
Islam, right? Yeah. So can you repeat after me? Islam.
Islam.
No, not Islam. Okay, can you say is? Islam.
Islam.
Islam means submission. So what's the meaning of Islam? Submission. If we don't submit to God, do you know to whom we submit? I'll tell you. We submit to our desires. I feel like drinking. I'm going to go and drink. And then I'm going to crash into a tree or like fall in a river. And then, because I was drunk, because I felt like drinking. Okay? I feel like eating. I'm going to sit in the kitchen, cook for 5 hours, eat a lot until I end up in the hospital in the emergency. And I'm telling you, some people live to eat. But Muslims eat to live. So we will submit to our desires. Basically, seeking knowledge, whether it's beneficial or not, wasting our time. Or love and hate, which leads also to crimes and stuff like that. Food and sexual desire. Islam came to say, when I say Islam here, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about any single prophet. I'm talking about submission to God. So when I say Islam, this is what I want you to think about now. Islam means submission to God, which is the message of all prophets and messengers. They came to people, submit to God who created you. Otherwise, we get busy with our desires. What else? If I don't submit to my desires, I'll submit to peer pressure. Everyone is doing this. What about you? I'm a yes man, I'm going to follow blindly. No. But a person who's a Muslim is not a yes man. A Muslim, again, would say, if everybody's going wrong, I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to be right. Everybody's going to be laughing at you. Who cares? But this is what people do today. I'm not going to be different. I have to follow everyone. No. So if you don't submit to your desires, you'll submit to peer pressure. Or you'll submit to Satan. Does anybody here believe in Satan? Raise your hand. Oh, majority, that's great. Satan is an enemy to mankind. And he took an oath upon himself in front of God to try to take people away from the straight path. So, this is another temptation. What else? We also submit to the worldly temptation that we have in this life. People will, you know, be busy making money. I can make money, but money cannot make me. Through money, I can't buy everything. Money is a means for an end, basically. But some people live all their life to worship money. Because what's the meaning of the word worship? If you look up the word worship in the English dictionary, it will tell you love, devotion, dedication of time and effort. That's the meaning of the word worship. So if you love God, you will dedicate time and effort to please Him. But if you worship money, this is where you're going to end up dedicating your time. And you can apply this to any other thing. Some people love cars so much. Who loves cars here? Come on, don't be shy. Okay? Yeah. You know what they do during the middle of the night? He looks up in the middle of the night, and then he looks through the window, and he's going to say, I miss you. And his wife, by mistake, would hear him, so they'll say, oh, thank you so much. He said, I'm not talking to you. Again, so people worship different things, right? But again, a wise person who realizes that he or she is a creation will always try to go back to the Creator. And they would worship Him. So all the messengers and prophets came to tell people, do not submit to things that were created for you. Everything is in this universe is created to serve you. And you are created to worship the Creator. So don't get busy with things that are created for you and forget the purpose for which you are created. So now this is the message of all prophets. We didn't start. Who? Right? All of them came to say, submit to God. So basically, can we make a conclusion here? All prophets and messengers came to ask people to submit to God, meaning they called for Islam. Whoever agrees with me, raise your hand. Wow, so you must be all Muslims here. Okay. Now, that's great so far. Many people when we say the word Islam, they always refer to the religion of Muhammad. Who agrees with me? Raise your hand. When we say Islam today, many people think that it's the religion of Muhammad. Okay. How many of you disagree with that? That it's the religion of all prophets and messengers? Raise your hand. Wow, I'm getting the same hands. What's wrong? Okay. Let's move on. This explains it. Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, according to the belief of the Muslims, who is the last prophet, he said, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ قَبْلِي, the likeness or the similitude of me and all the prophets before me, كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ بَنَى بُنْيَانٍ, it's like a man who came and constructed a building. And that building was almost perfect. People were amazed by how perfect it looks like, except that it was missing one block of brick. So he said, when people pass by the building, they say, what a marvelous, wonderful building, except that for that block of brick. He said, I'm that block of brick. I just came to perfect the building. So all the prophets before me, basically what he's saying, they came with the same message. I'm not coming with something new. Jesus told people, peace be upon him, submit to God. Moses, peace be upon him, came to the people, submit to God. And this is your salvation. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of them, they came to the people, submit to God. So I'm just coming to revive it again. I'm not coming with something new. So the religion of all prophets, according to Muslims, is Islam. So what's the difference then? The difference is the Sharia, the way of life, how to apply that. But there is no disagreement amongst all prophets that they came to say, there is only one God. He is the creator, the provider, the sustainer. He has no son, he has no wife, he has no partner, he has no equal. All messengers, no exception. So based on that, is it offensive to say Jesus is a Muslim? Anybody offended here? Raise your hand. Okay. Based on that understanding now, that Jesus came to, you know, invite people to submit to God, can we say that he's a Muslim and he's inviting people to submit to God? Yeah.
Well, I would disagree with the word as submit, and so I don't really think Jesus taught that. But I don't want to take the time to tell you.
Okay, so we're coming to the Q&A. Okay. So basically, based on the fact that all prophets and messengers came to tell people to submit to one God, this is the main concept of Islam. The oneness of God and the oneness of divine guidance. All prophets called for the same concept and principle. The fact that every prophet was sent to his own people. But then the only difference between Muhammad, peace be upon him, and everyone who came before him is that, according to the Muslims, he is the last one. He is the seal of prophets. There is nobody coming after him. But all the prophets before, they came complementing each other. And this is why, as we will see later on, when I start quoting the Quran, we'll find this statement or this phrase many times repeated. وَمُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, meaning confirming that which came before him. And confirming that which came before him. When Moses came, he confirmed that which was before him. When Jesus, peace be upon him, came, he confirmed that was before him. And he even prophesied that there is a prophet coming after me, you know, whose name is Ahmed. And that's one of the names of the prophet in Islam, Muhammad. And that's in chapter 61, verse number 6. We're going to come to this later on. Now, let's go and talk about Jesus, peace be upon him. Okay, any Muslims here, raise your hand. Any Christians, please raise your hands. Great. Okay, great. Any Jews here, raise your hands. Okay, because I'm going to be talking about the three. If anyone else in the room believes in something different, you're most welcome too. But what I'm saying is, what is the moderate view when it comes to Jesus? Peace be upon him. Do the Jews believe in Jesus as a prophet? Say no or no. Do they accept him? No, they reject him. They even call him an imposter. Okay? To the Muslims, this is an extreme. What is the other extreme? To the Muslims, when people say, he is the Son of God, or he is God himself. That's another extreme. And this is why, based on what we mentioned in the previous slide, with the fact that there's only Creator, and he's one God, and there's one divine guidance, he sent all prophets to people submit to God, and the prophets were complementing one another, then he is perfectly one of the great prophets of God, coming to continue and confirm the same message of the one who was before him, Moses, peace be upon him. And this is why also Muslims respect him exactly as they respect Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad, peace upon him. And that's the moderate view in between two extremes, according again to the Muslims. Now, did the Jews receive a book? Say yes or yes. What's the name of that book? Torah, right? Okay. Did the Christians receive a book? Yes. It's called Injil, which is Gospels, Good News, whatever language you want to translate it. Anyway, it was in Aramaic that I know better than anyone here in the room, okay? Because we have Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic. These fall under the family. One family of languages called the Semitic languages. The Semitic languages. And they're very close. I remember when I was watching The Passion of the Christ, I didn't care to read the subtitles because he was like talking like a hum, which is like very close to even to the Arabic language. Anyway, it's not our topic now. Did the Muslims receive a book? Say yes or yes. What is it called? Perfect. So we have the Torah, we have the Injil, we have that. Is this something still in common? That the three received books, right? Okay. And that's what, the Quran says in chapter 2, verse 285. God the Almighty is confirming the fact that Muslims believe in the three books. And if a Muslim denies one book of them, he's not a Muslim. This verse, as you see in English, but I'm not going to show you the English because you're going to be reading it and, you're going to be distracted from me. Also, this verse confirms the fact that Muslims believe in all prophets that came before Muhammad, peace be upon him. And if they deny one of them, they're not a Muslim. They're not considered Muslims. And this is what the verse says. بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ the messenger, meaning here Muhammad, peace be upon him, he believed in what was sent to him from his Lord. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ and the Muslims, or the believers, those who believed in the message of Muhammad, peace be upon him, كُلُّ and the word كُلْ here in the Arabic language means all of them. If they want to call themselves believers in the message of Muhammad, they have to accept the following. بِاللَّهِ they have to believe in Allah. God. Allah is not as some people pronounce it, Allah, the God of Arabs. No, Allah in the Arabic language means the only one true God that the Jews believe in, that the Christians, at early time, before the Trinity was introduced, believe in. And the angels, and this is also something common. So we have to accept all the angels. وَكُتُبِهِ all the books. وَرُسُلِهِ and the messengers. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ بِرُسُلِهِ even they are not supposed to discriminate amongst them. So now, the question is, do Muslims believe in all messengers? Say yes or yes?
Yes.
Can they deny one of them?
No.
Then they are not Muslims. Do Muslims believe in all books?
Yes.
Can they deny one of them?
No.
But somebody would say, why don't you accept the Bible then? Did we talk about the Bible or the Injil? The Bible is something that came later, right? We're not talking about the Bible. We're talking about the Injil, right? That was revealed in Aramaic. If you bring this back to me now, you'll find no contradiction between the content of the message and the Quran or the content of the Torah. We'll talk about it. Okay, I'll receive questions at the end. Okay. Let's move on. What does the Quran say about the book that was given to Moses, peace be upon him? What does the Quran say about it? In fact, the Quran describes that book as Hudan wa Nur. That's amazing. It has Hudan, which means in Arabic guidance, and Nur means light. Look at this. The verse says, Inna anzalna at-Tawrah. And indeed, we have sent down the Torah. Fiha hudan wa nur. In which there is guidance and light. I don't have time to go through the details, but that's what I want to tell you. This is how the Quran looks at the Torah, the book that was given to Moses. What about the book that was given to Jesus, peace be upon him? What does the Quran say about it? Yeah, we'll go back to the other one. Again, God said, وَقَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ. And in their footsteps, meaning the other prophets, came Jesus, the son of Mary. And we'll go back to this all the time. When Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, he's going to be mentioned as son of Mary. Why? We're going to talk about this later on. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Confirming that which was revealed before him, which is the Torah. Again, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ. And we gave him the Injil. Again, look at the same exact phrase. فِيهِ هُدًى وَنُورٌ. In which there is guidance and light. So, does the Quran respect the Torah? Say yes or yes. Does the Quran respect the Injil?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Who are the people of the book according to the Quran? Who are the people of the book? They are the Jews and the Christians. We say in Arabic, Ahlul Kitab. Ahlul Kitab. The people of the book. Okay? So who are they? They are the Jews and the Christians. Why are they called so? That's the question. So the answer to the first question is, they are, you know, the Jews and the Christians. But the question is, why are they called so? They are always referred to their book because they lived their life when the book was given to them according to the book, not according to themselves. Let me repeat this again, because this is very important. They are called the people of the book because whenever they want to do something, they go back to their book, meaning they go back to the revelation that was given to them. Because there is guidance and there is light there. So they can pick and choose, as the Quran said later on, because at some point of time in history, that's what they used to do. They will follow some and they will not follow some. And an example is in chapter 2, verse number 85. When God blamed them and he said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Would you pick and choose, believe in some parts of the book and disbelieve in some other parts? So, why are they called the people of the book? Because they follow the book, not their own laws. Not man-made laws. What's the religion today? Or what's the culture today? Let's stay away from the word religion. In the West, we are governed by secularism. And if you ask secularism, what's religion to you? They're going to tell you this. Religion is at the places of worship. So you go to a church, do whatever you want. Once you come out, there is no relationship. There is no relationship between your life outside the church and what you will do. Same thing, whatever, you know, religion that you follow. So the religion is only at the place of worship. Once you come out, you do whatever you want. And that's something people must understand. In Islam, it's completely different. In Islam, when you say the word religion, it means it's a comprehensive way of life. It's a comprehensive way of life. It covers every single aspect of the life of a person. Even the way they sit in the washroom. Can you imagine that? Even the way the toilet in the house will be built. You can't be facing the Qibla, which is the direction of Mecca. You can't be giving your back to the Qibla. Even eating habits, you eat with the right hand, not the left hand, because you're not supposed to imitate Satan. When you look in the mirror, this could be an act of worship. You're always in remembrance of your Creator. When you look at the mirror, you don't say, look at you. When you look at the mirror, you say, Alhamdulillah, all praises due to God, الذي أحسن خلقي, who created me in the best form. And then you ask him for what is more important, not the external beauty, but the internal beauty. Allahumma hassin khuluqi kama ahsanta khalqi. Oh God, beautify and perfect my manners the same way as you perfected my shape. Life could be an act of worship depending on your intention. If you are always aware that there's a Creator, at any point of time in your life, you go back to him. And he's going to ask you, how did you use your life that I gave you? How did you use your time? How did you use your knowledge? How did you use your brain? Why do people believe? Why do people believe? Let me ask you a question. Had any Jew who lives today seen Moses, peace be upon him, on the Mount of Sinai talking to God, say no or no? Because it's impossible, right? Did any Jew who's living today see Moses when he hit the sea with the stick and God paved a way for him to cross, and the same land across the sea that carried Moses and his followers and saved them to the other shore was the same land that carried the Pharaoh of Egypt. I'm not talking about Hosni Mubarak, okay? I'm talking about the Pharaoh at the time of Moses, okay? That carried the Pharaoh at that time to the middle of the sea, and then he drowned there. Did they see that? No. Why did they believe? Because it's in the Torah. Am I right or right? Same thing. Let me ask the Christians who are here. Have you ever seen Jesus, peace be upon him, giving the blind their eyesight back? No. Have you ever seen him raising the dead? No. Have you ever seen him curing those people who had leprosy? No. But do you believe in that? Christians, say yes or yes. Why? Because it's in the book. Because it's in the book. Okay, let me ask the Muslims here. Do you believe in all the miracles of Moses?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Did you see that?
No.
Perfect. Do you believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, used to raise the dead and bring them back to life?
Yes.
On one condition. With the permission of?
Allah.
Yes. Because this is a miracle. And when we say a miracle, it means something supernatural. Something a human cannot do. And when we say a miracle, all prophets, according to the belief of the Muslims, were supported by God. Because anyone can come and say, I'm a messenger. I've seen this in the newspaper the day before. Somebody showed it to me at the University of Alberta. Putin is claiming now to be a messenger. But he has to come up with miracles, right? And let me just, on a side note, on a tangent here, share with you a funny story. At the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there were people who claimed to be messengers. But it was very funny. There's even one of them called Musaylama. But do you know his last name? Al-Kadhaa. What's the meaning of Kadhaa? The liar. Just go to the Islamic history. People call him Musaylama the liar. That's his name. Why? Because one time he came and he was really unfortunate because he met the smartest one amongst the Arab, called Dahiyat al-Arab, Amr ibn al-As. And he said to him, you know, Muhammad, peace be upon him, claimed that he received a new chapter. He said, okay. He said, I received one today too. He said, wonderful. Why don't you share with me? He said, yeah, go ahead. He said, here is the surah, or the chapter. Al-Fil. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْفِيلِ لَهُ خُرْطُومٌ طَوِيلٌ وَذَيْلٌ قَصِيلٌ. See, those who know Arabic, they started laughing. It's nonsense. Even though it sounds like the Quran, even though it's rhyming, but people think, you know, they can just like make it up, like, you know, I'm a messenger. You know, so that means he's saying the elephant and what makes you realize what the elephant is. Wow. That's really serious. And then he said, it has a very long trunk and a very short tail. End of the chapter. Seems that he ate lots of biryani before he went to bed. Anyway, you know what Amr, you know, how Amr, you know, responded to him? He said, you know, Musaylama, you know your name. You know that I know that you are lying, and don't ever waste my time again. He was mad at him. Because this is nonsense. Anyway, Putin is claiming to be a messenger. That's a new story. That's good. So, back to the question, why do people believe? Does it mean that they have to see, or it's written in their book? So if the Jews believe in the miracles of Moses because they have seen it in their book, and if the Christians believe in the miracles of Jesus because it's written in their book, the Muslims also believe on those miracles, even without seeing them. Do you know the good news? Anybody who's a revert here? I mean, who is not a Muslim and a kid for Islam? Okay. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whoever believes in Jesus, peace be upon him, and then believes in me, he will have a double reward. So those who are born and raised Muslims, raise your hands. These two people, you know, are better than you. They'll have a double reward. That's what the Prophet said. In fact, there's another narration that says, whoever believes that Jesus is a prophet, and I am a prophet, and that paradise is true, and hellfire is true, he or she will make it to paradise through any one of the 8 gates of paradise. Say, wow. That's a great reward. But before we could proceed, there is one, I'm going to repeat this again, there is one non-negotiable fact about Islam. And let me repeat this for the 4th time. When I'm saying Islam now, do I mean the religion of Muhammad or the religion of all prophets? All prophets. Non-negotiable fact, which is oneness of God. There's only one God. And that God, all the prophets and messengers came to confirm that fact. We also agreed that there is a creator and there is creation. So what will happen to the creation? Are they mortal or immortal? They are all mortal, right? And that's what God says in chapter 55, verse number 27. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام. Every creation will come to an end, will die, except one. All the creation, except the Creator. So there is only one that will never come to an end, the one who created all the creation. But every creation will die. So, another fact, which maybe, you know, our brothers in humanity sitting here would agree with, which is, they say, he is the way, he's the beginning and he's the end. It's exactly what the Muslims believe too. He's the first and he's the last. When the Muslims recite in chapter 112, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ, what's the word? أَحَد. Does it say واحد or أَحَد? Is there a difference? Big difference. واحد means one. One can be preceded by zero, non-existence. And it can be preceded by two. But أَحَد means there is none before him and there is none after him. That's a big difference between أَحَد and واحد. So it means he's the first and he's the last. Can I ask you a question? Who's your father? Who's your father? What's your name?
Zoltan.
Zoltan.
I've never heard of
father. Okay, what about you? What's your name? Your full name? Omar Fayoumi. Okay, so Fayoumi is your last name, right? Can we all agree on one father in this room? Just to make it easy? Do we all have one father?
Yes.
Why don't we go there and ask? Yeah, we have all. We all of us have one father. What's his name?
Adam.
Very simple. Adam. Right? Our father is
Adam.
Those who agree with this, raise your hands. Our father is Adam. All of us. Okay, great. And that's what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. الناس كلهم من بنو آدم وآدم من تراب. All people can be traced back to Adam, and Adam was created out of dust. This is our beginning, right? And some people might ask this question. Everybody has a father and a mother. Am I right or right? And there are, let me share this with you. There are four possible ways of creation. There are four possible ways of creation. The normal way, we are all created, which is a father and a mother. Okay? What's the opposite to that? No father, no mother. There's only one case. Who was created with no father and no mother?
Adam.
Perfect. Okay, let's move on. What's the third possible way of creation? There was also one case where there is someone that was created without a mother. What's her name? Our mother, Eve. Right? She was created out of the rib of Adam. Everybody agrees on that? Perfect. Perfect. So, the way of creation where God would show that He is the Almighty. He can do whatever He wants. And let me ask you a question. Can the Creator do whatever He wants?
Yes.
If He wants something, He would say, be. And it is? Can anybody challenge Him? You know the name of the first space shuttle? What is it called?
Challenger.
Challenger. What happened to it? What happened to it? They were saying, let's go up and challenge Him. What happened to it? Did it go up? Second time they respected Him, says, oh, you know, can we go up and discover? God said, yes. Discovery can go up. But Challenger, no. You can't challenge Him. You can't challenge Him. So if God wants something, He would say, be, and it is. He can say to all of us now, and you have seen this happening many times, in California, in many places, you know, an earthquake would happen. Who's going to be the first one to run out of here? The speaker. Am I right or right? It's something natural. You don't want to die. When an earthquake happens, this ceiling will collapse. And I can just go to YouTube now and show you something like that. Exactly. You know, a lady professor, she was like explaining, and all of a sudden the earthquake happened in California. She was the first one, like, okay, see you in hellfire. Okay? And then she ran away. All paradise. So the question is, if God were to say to us now, be dust, can anybody say, no? You can't do this to me?
No.
When Katrina happened in the United States, you know what they did? They have the most sophisticated technology. They are the only superpower in the world. What happened there? They went to the church. Right? And the Muslims went to the mosque. They said, make it easy on us. Please, forgive our sins. And just one day, you know the loss? $23 billion. More than the damage that happened in Iraq. Think about this. Anyway, are we talking politics here? No. Okay. So, let's go back and talk about this. Can God create someone without a father or a mother?
Yes.
Can God create somebody without a mother?
Yes.
Give me examples. Adam and Eve. Can God create somebody without a father?
Yes.
He did. What's his name?
Jesus.
Thank you so much. What's his name?
Jesus.
Peace be upon him. So when he did that, what was the point? I can do whatever I want. And this is why the Quran in chapter 19, named after Mary, where there is no chapter in the Quran named under the name of any of the wives of the Prophet or any member of his family, it says, we made you as a sign. So people would reflect. Can I ask another question? Which is more difficult? To create without a father or a mother? Or to create only without a father?
Neither.
First one is more difficult, right? This is exactly what God says in this verse. Look at this verse. You go to Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayah number 59. Because some people said, how can you prove it? How come that he was created without a father? God said, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمَ. If they were to ask you about how come that Jesus was created without a father, ask them, what about Adam? It's more difficult. So he said, the similitude of Jesus with Allah, with God, is like Adam. He said to him, be. And he was. He gave them out of dust. He said, be. And it's amazing when you go even to the Bible, you know, in Luke 2:28, it says, when he was, and it's referring to Jesus, when he was 8 days old, the angel named him Jesus. When he was still in the womb of his mother. Who's that? That's in the Bible. What's his name?
Jesus.
So he was named when he was 8 days in the womb of his mother. Can you imagine your God to be in the womb of a mother? Does this make sense to you? That's not in the Quran. I'm quoting the Bible now. Okay. So let's go back. How many times is Adam mentioned in the Quran for Muslims? This is a question for the Muslims.
25.
I'll give you a chocolate. How many can you for this one?
25.
Inshallah, chocolate here. Oh, Doc, are you Googling it?
No, it's...
Astaghfirullah. Okay. Now, do you know how many times Jesus, peace be upon him, is mentioned in the Quran? 25 times. Isn't this amazing? The verse says, the similitude of Jesus is like that of Adam. Both of them are mentioned in the Quran 25 times. Wow. Can I ask another question? Do you know how many times the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, is mentioned in the Quran?
Four
by the name of Muhammad and one by the name of Ahmed. What? Jesus, peace be upon him, is mentioned in the Quran more than Muhammad? Yes. Peace be upon them both. What does this tell you? I'm not going to tell you, just think about it. Is there any chapter in the Quran named after Khadija, the most beloved wife of the Prophet ﷺ? No. Aisha? Fatima, his daughter? But you know what? Chapter 19 in the Quran is called, guess what? Maryam in Arabic, which means Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon her. What does this tell you? Every human being has the right to be called by the name of their father, right? And it's very bad sometimes when you ask someone, they would feel very bad. Like, what's the name of your father? Going to say, I don't know. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. I think you can still smile if you're married. <Where is that? laughs> Okay. How many of you are planning to marry? Don't raise your hand now, okay? Hold on. Because you mentioned marriage officer, life coach, you know? I don't want to get into trouble. How many of you are planning to marry and take the name of their husbands? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Okay. Okay. You see? It's very common. It's a common practice in this culture, right? Once you marry, you give the name of your husband or the family name of your husband. Okay? Now, in the Quran, chapter 33, verse number 5, God said, ادعوهم لآبائهم. ادعوهم لآبائهم. Everybody has the right to be called by the name of their father. And I know many cases when I was in the United States and here in Canada, they have so many problems because once they get divorced and they're stuck with the name of their husbands, they can do nothing in their life. It's a big problem. And this is why in Islam it says, ادعوهم لآبائهم. Everyone has the right to be called by the name of their father. But somebody will ask a question. Before we go there and ask the questions, would you like me to share some statistics with you? Okay. According to who? WHO. World Health Organization, okay? So according to who, this is not a question, okay? Now, it's a statement. There is 100 million cases of intimacy between men and women every day. And as a result, there is 810,000 cases of conceptions. And there is 35,000 cases of sexually transmitted diseases. And there is also 150,000 abortions every day. According to who? According to who? WHO. Not according to me. Okay? It's amazing. And it's very bad when a child doesn't know who is his father. Do we have this common in our culture today? But it's amazing, there is only one person in the Quran who's not called by the name of his father. So is there a contradiction in the Quran? The Quran says, call them by the name of their father. But there's only one person in the Quran who's not called by the name of his father. Simply because he does not have a father. This is why he's always called the son of Mary. It's none but Jesus, be upon him. This is why every single time he is mentioned in the Quran, it will always say, Isa ibn Maryam. What does this tell you? It's confirming the fact that it's a miracle. It's a sign of the power of God. Who could create without a father or a mother, he can also create without a father. This is why it's a confirmation every single time. Because he had no father. And let me just tell you, there are certain things in the Christian theology that Muslims would accept, but it doesn't mean they accept everything, as we'll see later on. But there are other facts that are mentioned about Jesus and his miracles that Muslims accept. Yet, I will share with you some miracles that are mentioned in the Quran, but they're not mentioned in the Bible. That Jesus, peace be upon him, did, and as Muslims we believe. And let me ask a question before we move to the next slide. We'll take questions at the end if you want. Let me ask you this question. Muslims, do you believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, used to give the deaf their hearing back with the permission of God? Raise your hand. Okay. Great. Muslims, do you believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, used to raise the dead with the permission of God? Raise your hands. Muslims, do you believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, used to give the blind their eyesight after they lost it with the permission of God? Raise your hands. Okay. Muslims, do you believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, turned the water into alcohol? Raise your hands. Uh-oh. What happened to the hands? There's only two hands. What happened to the hands? Why is it always up? Yes, yes, what happened? We need to think about this. People who didn't raise their hands. You raise your hand every single time because this is mentioned in the? Right? In your book. This is where you base your belief, right? But is it mentioned in the Quran that he turned the water into alcohol or wine? No. And let me, you know, ask the two who raised their hands. And they're going to say now, like, you know, oh my God, why did I put myself in this? No. Brother, you raised your hand, right?
Sure.
Why did you say yes?
Because it's a miracle. And then I was just confirming the miracles that you were saying.
Yeah.
So I wasn't literally listening to everything, but I was just trying to confirm that, yes, I agreed that it was by God.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So you're a Muslim?
Yes, I'm going to blame the camera. I was using the camera, so I wasn't literally listening.
Oh, okay. All
right.
So it was, okay. So sister here. You heard about it? Okay, perfect. That tells us something. Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us something. He said, sometimes when you read in the books that were before you, things that will confirm what's in the Quran, so believe in them. And you will find things that are contradicting what's in the Quran, don't believe in them. And you will find things that are not in the Quran, yet they're not contradicting, they're not confirming, just be silent. And this is why many people who used to say yes, yes, when it came to this, like, you know, we're silent. We abstain from voting. What? It could be right, it could be wrong. If we say wrong and it's right, we're making a mistake. If we say right and it's wrong, we make a mistake, so we better be silent. Because sometimes it's good to say, I don't know. But unfortunately today, it's a sign of weakness. When people say, you know, what do you think? Like, oh, yeah, I know it all. Come to me. I'm the expert. And I'll give you an opinion about anything. No. Sometimes it's safe to say, I don't know, because nobody knows it all. Is that clear? So there are areas where, again, we're not trusted and just be silent. Okay. What's the most popular name in the world? Say it out loud.
Muhammad.
Yes. Muhammad. It's very popular everywhere. And the question is, even I know somebody who's in deep love with the name, that his name is Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. And even like one of them has 10 children. They call them Muhammad the first, Muhammad the second, Muhammad the third, Muhammad the fourth. Just like give them numbers. SubhanAllah. It's amazing. I ask this question. How many in the room, their first name, or their middle name, or their last name, somewhere in there there's Muhammad? Raise your hands.
Wow.
Okay. How many in the room, they know someone, you know, whose first name, or last name, or middle name is Muhammad? Raise your hand. Even the Christians. Okay. So, do Muslims also take other names other than Muhammad?
Yes.
Let me ask another question. What's the meaning in Arabic for Jesus? We say?
Isa.
Right? How many Muslims here in the room, their name could be Isa? Raise your hand. Oh, mashallah, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Perfect. Okay. How many of you know someone whose first name, or middle name, or last name is Isa? Raise your hands. Wow. Great. Same things applies to Moses, applies to Jacob, applies to Abraham. And I'm going to leave you to reflect on that. Okay, the female popular name. Anybody here? Khadija? Aisha? Fatima? Oh, the sister realized that her name is Fatima. That's good. Sometimes you're overwhelmed, you know. Remember your name after. You know, computers sometimes freeze, you know. Okay. So this is like, you know, the most beloved one to the heart of the Prophet, Khadija, radiallahu anha. May God be pleased with her, right? Followed by Aisha and, you know, his daughter Fatima. Okay. How many Muslims here in the room, their name is Mary, Maryam? Raise your hands. MashaAllah. 1, 2. How many do you know who are Muslims and their name are Maryam or Mary? Muslims. Do the Muslims love Mary?
Yes.
So much?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Is there any chapter in the Quran named after Khadija? Anyone of the family of the Prophet? Is there anyone of the family of the Prophet mentioned by name in the Quran? Okay. What's the name of chapter number 19 in the Quran? Mary. A whole chapter telling us the story, how she conceived of Jesus, peace be upon him. And how she was instructed when she's going to meet her people and they're going to tell her, how come that you became pregnant and you gave birth to a child when your dad was a good man and your mother was not a prostitute? How come? And God told her, point at him. What? Yes, I'm fasting. I'm not going to talk. It's a different type of fasting. People fast, they abstain from eating and drinking, right? But there was a special fasting for Mary. Go and read chapter 19. He said, tell them, I vow that I'm going to be fasting. I'm not going to talk to anyone. And he said, if they ask you, just point at him. And when she pointed at him, he talked. Jesus talked in the cradle. What were the first words that came out of his mouth? قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ He said, I am the servant of God. He never said, I am the son of God. That's in the Quran. And I dare you to bring me a verse in any other book where he said, I am the Son of God, or I am God. I dare you. He always said, I'm the Son of Man. And even when he told, he said, my Father in heavens, it's figuratively. Because in the Bible itself, I'm going to repeat the verse that I quoted, it says, when he was 8 days, the angel named him Jesus. When he was in the womb of his mother. He was in the womb of his mother. So he's a human being like you, like me. But is he like you and me when it comes to the status with God? Never. He's so unique in many ways. Because all of us, we had a father. But he doesn't have a father. Simply because it's a sign of the power of God who can create without nothing. So chapter 19 is named after him. Not only that, you know, when God talked about Mary, he said, "Inna Allah istafaki wa tahharaki wa istafaki ala nisa'il alameen." And it's written, it's also in the Bible, in John, it says that Jesus, when he was in the womb of his mother, he made her impure for 40 days. Isn't this the case with any woman who gets pregnant and gives birth? It's there. And this is why we believe he was given a miraculous birth. So God is saying, "Inna Allah istafaki," talking about Mary, he said, "Indeed, God has chosen you, wataharaki, and purified you, wastafaki, and chosen you, ala nisa'il alameen, above all the women of your time." This is how Mary is held in high esteem in the Quran. This is how the Muslims look at Mary according to what God revealed to the Prophet. And of course, we have the whole story when the angel came to her and he said, "I'm having the good news that you're pregnant and you have Jesus, Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam." And he even talked about his status before he came to life. He said, "Wajihan fi dunya." He will have a very high status in this life and he will be very close to God in the second life. And it's the same thing in the Bible. It says he's going to be on the right hand of the Lord. It's the same meaning. But as Muslims, we don't believe that the Lord has a right hand and a left hand. But it's the same concept, that he's going to be very close to God. So let me ask you a question according to the hadith, the tradition, Muslims. What's the most beloved name to God? Abdullah. What was the first words that Jesus said when he was in the cradle? He said, "I'm the servant of God." Because this is the most loved name to God. So he said the most loved name to God. Many times you will always hear like he's the word and he's the spirit. And that's the exact words the Quran used. Kalimatullah. Waruhuhu. Meaning the word of God when he said be and he walks. Waruhu. We all have something of the spirit of God because after our creation in the womb of our mothers, the angel of spirits comes down and breathes the spirit. And this is why after, you know, 4 months, ask the doctors, they will tell you this, you know, the embryo starts moving because the spirit is there now. And people would say, "How come that he exists without the Father?" Again, he is the word of God. Be, and he walks. Was Mary a virgin? Yes. That's what we believe. That's what God said. And we talked about the four possible resurrections. Let's, in conclusion, we talked about the miracles of Jesus, peace be upon him. You know, as we believe, whether it came in the previous books or in our book. But do you know that there is, I'm going to share one with you, in the Quran, that's not mentioned in the Injil, that Jesus, peace be upon him, used to come up with clay and he would form the shape of a bird and then he would blow on that clay and the bird would fly. Would become a fly. Would become a bird. This is described in the Quran. You will only find this in the Quran. So the Quran even is confirming the fact that Jesus is unique in many ways. But there's a fact that's going to come now and it's going to amaze everyone. What's the first thing a flight attendant will tell you when you are seated on the plane? Right? Isn't that? Put on your seatbelt, because something serious is coming, okay? So I'm asking you now to put on your seatbelt. Okay, I'm gonna come and check, okay? Something amazing. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in one of his traditions, and the Muslims will have two options after the reading of the hadith, to agree or agree. He said, every single human being, at birth, when they are born, they are touched by Satan. And this is why they cry. Every single human being, from the beginning of creation till the end, once they are born, they are touched by Satan. And this is why they cry. There are only two exceptions. Only two exceptions. Two human beings who were not touched by Satan. Do you know who they are? Mary and Jesus, peace be upon them. I owe you two chocolates for that. Yes. Why? Because their mother, you know, the wife of Imran, what did she do? She made dua, she prayed. She said, وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُكَ بِهَا وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانَ الرَّجِيمِ. And I seek refuge with you for her and the descendants that will come out of her from Satan. So the only two, when Mary came to life and when Jesus came to life, they were not touched by Satan. This is something that our Prophet, peace be upon him, shared with us. So he wouldn't mind sharing something like that. He wouldn't hide a fact. Something that makes Jesus, peace be upon him, very unique. And you can check that in Sahih al-Bukhari. This hadith is agreed upon. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. If you go to book 4 and go under Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, you will find this hadith. So Prophet Muhammad does not shy away from sharing that truth. He wouldn't hide a fact about Jesus, peace be upon him. And to conclude, this is another fact, as we mentioned before. You know, in chapter 3, verse 185, God says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul will taste death. Every single soul will taste death. So somebody would say, okay, we got you now. My brothers in humanity here who follow Christianity, they're going to say, we got you now. Ha! Muslims, do you believe in crucifixion? Say no or no. Do you believe that Jesus was crucified? No. Okay? Did he die? No. So what happened to him? He was taken up and raised alive, and he's with God now. So he didn't die. But you said every single soul will taste death. How can we accept that then? How can we accept that?
Jesus, after your prayer,
yes. Because God said, as we will see later on, that there is one of the major signs that the day of judgment is coming close, is that Jesus will come back. So the Muslims are waiting for him. So his job is not accomplished yet. Will he come with a new faith, new religion? No. He'll come from the same religion, but he has a mission to be done. So, what happened to Muhammad, peace be upon him? Give me the word. Mad. He died. What happened to Moses, peace be upon him? He died. What happened to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? They all? But what happened to Jesus? That's what the Quran said. The Quran answered the question. The Quran said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. And when they said that we killed, you know, the Messiah, Isa, the son of Mary, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. Allah is stating a fact. He said, they neither killed him nor crucified him. And this is what the Muslims believe, because God said this in the Quran. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. But so it was made to appear to them. And another verse, that's the answer. God said, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Nay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up unto himself. So the question is, what happened to Jesus? So he never died. And the Christian will say, we got you. Right? No. Because he has a job. He's a messenger and a prophet according to the belief. Propagating Islam. This is why we say Jesus is a Muslim. Meaning he submits to the will of God and he promotes the same concept that every other prophet promotes, which is submit to God. There's only one God. This is your salvation. But he has a special title that was mentioned in the Quran 11 times. That title was never given to any other prophet. Al-Masih, the Messiah. Why? Because the Antichrist is one of the major signs that the end of life is coming and the day of judgment is approaching. And the job of Jesus, peace be upon him, he's going to be leading all the believers when he comes down, and he's going to be the one to kill the Antichrist. Who decides this? Me? You? Jesus himself? No. Let's go back to the very first fact that we all agreed on. The Creator. Who created Jesus and who created everyone else. And told them to submit to him. So, what does the Christ mean? The anointed. Jesus is the Messiah. And do Jews believe in Jesus as the Messiah? The answer is no. Do Muslims believe in Jesus as the Messiah?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
So he has a job to do, right? That's why he has to come back. And after he comes back and kills the Antichrist, Prophet Muhammad said he's going to die. And the believers at the time, they're going to bury him. Because again, he's one of the perfect human beings, like all the other prophets who were chosen by God to deliver a message, which is submit to God. Your God is one, and this is your salvation. And this is why in the Quran it says, وَإِلَهُنَا وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. And our God and your God is the same. But Allah does whatever He wants. Allah saved Abraham from the fire. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Allah saved Moses from the Pharaoh. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Allah saved the Egyptian recently from the Pharaoh. Yes or yes? Okay. But Allah chose not to save John, and he was killed. Is that right or right? Why? Because God said many times in the Quran, Allah does whatever He will. No challenger, yes for discovery. Is that clear? So nobody can question him. He said in the Quran, لَا يُسْأَلْ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He cannot be questioned about whatever he does, because he's the all-wise. Your wisdom is incomplete. Your wisdom is imperfect. But his wisdom is perfect. He's the all-wise. Does everyone in the room agree that God does whatever he will?
Yes.
So for some wisdom, he chooses to save some people, he chooses not to save some people. There's a wisdom. And you, John, he was sick for so many years, even though he was a prophet. Joseph, the best of lineage ever. Because he's a prophet, the son of a prophet. His dad is Jacob or Israel. His grandfather is Isaac, a prophet. His grandfather is Abraham. And he went through a lot. He lost his mother when he was a child. He was taken by his own brothers, thrown into the well, to be deprived from his father. And he was sold as a slave. And he served in the house of Al-Aziz of Egypt. And he was seduced by the wife of Al-Aziz. And he was thrown into jail. Who are you and me compared to Joseph, the best of lineage? But Allah does whatever He will. Am I right or right? Okay. Why did Allah took Jesus up alive? This is the answer in the Quran. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَعِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ Because Jesus is one of the signs, one of the major signs of the approachment of the Day of Judgment. This is why. The Quran is very clear. He'll have to come back. And Muslims believe that Jesus has to come back to do the job of the Messiah. God bless you. Alhamdulillah. He won't teach something new about the faith of all prophets. Because as I said, all prophets came with the same message. Submit to God, this is your salvation. There's only one God. He is the creator. He has no son. He doesn't need a son. Because you and I need a son to carry my name after I die. There was no one before him. There is none after him. Why would he need a son? Prophet Muhammad said, there is no trial for humans more worse than the Antichrist. This is why the Messiah, Jesus, peace be upon him, has a very great job, which is to rid the world of this trial and kill. Let me just finish with this. This is a beautiful dialogue in the Quran between God and Jesus. And this is going to happen in the Day of Judgment, but we are told about it. Where God is going to say, أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهِينِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Oh, Jesus, have you told the people to take me, sorry, to take you and your mother as two gods beside me? And look at the beautiful answer from, Jesus, peace be upon him. He's going to say, you are far from imperfection, and I don't have the right to say this. I only told them what you told me, to worship you alone, with no partners. And when you took me up alive, I don't know what's happening to them. And then he said at the end of the verses, if you were to punish them, you're the all able. And if you were to forgive them, you're the most forgiving, the all merciful. And when our Prophet, peace be upon him, used to recite these verses, he used to cry a lot. He used to stop at them and reflect. This is a very deep dialogue. Again, that reflects the fact that Jesus, peace be upon him, on the Day of Judgment, is going to say, I never said that. That was changed after me. I'm innocent of that. The Prophet, peace be upon him, one day said to his companions, he said, I wish that you will be half of the people of paradise. I wish that you will be half of the people of paradise. And my question to you, who's going to be the other half? Have you ever thought about this? Prophet Muhammad said, I wish his companions were asking him, what would be our percentage in paradise? He said, I wish that you'll be half. God promised him that. Who would be the other half?
The other Muslims.
The other?
Muslims.
Muslims. Oh, do you mean there were Muslims before Muhammad? Yeah. Yes. Why? Because all prophets came with Islam. Would you like even me to recite to you some verses from the Quran that say, before even the coming of Muhammad, many prophets, if not all of them, mentioned that they are Muslims? I'll give you this, just three examples. Three examples. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. God said, when Abraham and Ishmael were rebuilding the Kaaba, they were making dua. What did they say? رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ Wow. That's Abraham. Was Muhammad born yet? In fact, Muhammad later on came from the lineage of Ishmael, right? So Abraham and Ishmael, they were making dua, supplicating, invoking the name of God, saying, Oh God, make us. And somebody told me in one email, it's like, I got you. This is a contradiction in the Quran. It says, make us Muslims, and Muhammad was not born. I said, in fact, this proves what you are disagreeing with me about. Because Islam is not the religion of Muhammad. Islam is the religion of Adam, to start with, going through Noah, Abraham, all of them. So they're saying, make us die in a state of submission to you. That's the meaning of Islam. Not only that, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ Later on in the same surah, And, you know, Abraham and Jacob, you know, commending their children, they said, Ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum al-deen. Oh my dear little sons, God has chosen the religion for you. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die. Again, the translation wouldn't be except as Muslims because Prophet Muhammad was not there yet. We're talking about Jacob. But it means in a state of submission to God. Chapter 12, verse 101. So Yusuf. Yusuf, after all the trials he went through, after the reunion with his family, what was his ultimate goal in life? He raised his hands to God and he said, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. Oh my Lord, you have given me authority and power. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And you have taught me the interpretation of dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my supporter in this life and the one to come. What do you want after all of this introduction and praising God? تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. Make me die in a state of submission to you. Was Muhammad born yet? I can go on and on and on. Prove to you that all the prophets in the Quran, the 25 that were mentioned by name, they admitted the fact that they are Muslims in the sense of we submit to the only one true God because this is our salvation. So the other half, exactly the answer that the brother gave here, were the Muslims before in time, before Prophet Muhammad. Because the people who followed Jesus, peace be upon him, before the book was changed, they are called, give me the right word, Muslims. The people who believed in the Torah, accepted it and submitted to God, they are called, Moses is a Muslim. Jesus is, Abraham is, Jacob is. This is what we mean. They all submitted to the will of God, like Muhammad did. Muhammad did not come up with a new religion. Muhammad came to revive the new, sorry, the old, same message. Submit to God. It's amazing that in another hadith he said, on the day of judgment, I was like, you know, as if he was given, shown like a video of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. You know, he said, I saw a prophet coming on the day of judgment, and ma'ahu ruhayt. A ruhayt tasghir raht. And raht in the Arabic language means the number from 3 to 9. So like 4 or 5 people following a prophet. He spent all his life and he's coming with 4 or 5 people following him. And he said, وَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيِّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّجُلْ وَالرَّجُلَانِ. A prophet coming with the day of judgment, واحد. And I saw some prophets coming with the day of judgment with no followers. But then he saw Moses with lots of people. And he saw, again, his followers also, lots of people. So this is why he said, I wish that you would be half the ummah. So this is why the other half are the true, and I want you to underline this, the true followers of prophets Moses and Jesus before the message was changed. This is why God said, they have disbelieved and said, this is exactly in the Quran, Jesus is God, the Son of God. This is how the Quran phrased it. So Muslims have the last revelation, and we have the mention of all other books and prophets before us. Adam, on the day of judgment, would say, myself, myself. When people would be under so much torture, they're going to go to him and say, please, go and intercede with God. You're going to say, myself, myself. And every prophet will take us to the next one until they arrive to Jesus, peace be upon him. Everyone before him will mention a sin that he committed, except Jesus. He's not going to mention anything, but he's going to say, go to Muhammad. And that was the beginning, that would be the beginning of the intercession on the day of judgment. You know, if he was the last one, he would say, I am for it. But he's not going to mention any sin, the only one. He's going to say, go to Muhammad. And people will go to him, and he will intercede for the beginning of the day of judgment.
Okay, thank you very much.
We're going to take some questions.
Okay, so this is a question and answer session. We're not taking any mini lectures from anyone. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll rotate from a brother to a sister or a guy to a girl and so forth. It's half an hour.
Okay.
We're going to go for about half an hour, inshallah.
Okay, just before we start, this is not a debate in any way. And as I said before, if I said anything that offended anyone in any way, it was not meant. We're just sharing with you what we believe in according to our book. So it's no offense in any way. And I apologize if anything that I mentioned offended anyone indirectly. So the question I'm going to take is a question, a very short question. No lecture, no statements, just a question, if you have a question. I'll leave it to you.
Sure. We'll start with Mark.
You mentioned that Jesus is the only one who's not named by his father in the Quran. Is it the same with Adam, or is there a symbolic way in which Adam is named by his father in the Quran?
Okay. The question is, if Jesus was not named after his father, what about Adam? Is there any symbolic way also that he was named after? And the answer is, Adam is unique, and Jesus is unique. But if we compare the uniqueness of the two, Adam would be more unique. Because Jesus had no father, but he had a mother. This is why he was called by the name of his mother. But Jesus had none of both. So it's not the subject. So Adam, you know, has no father, no mother. So he wouldn't be called the Son of God. He is just Adam. Because he's the beginning of creation. Okay? So he's the beginning. This is why we call him the father of humanity. Okay? Same thing with Eve. Okay? This is why, as Muslims, we believe that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Right? Okay.
We'll take a question right there.
Yes. Okay, so I need you to elaborate on what the job of the Christ is when Jesus comes back, I guess, and also what you meant at the end by Muhammad's role on Judgment Day. What is Muhammad's role on Judgment Day?
Oh, okay. Okay. For the first part of the question, which is what's the job of Jesus the Christ, as referred to, is always referred to also in the Quran as Jesus the Christ and Jesus the Messiah. His job is, when he comes down, he'll come down and he'll be leading the believers. All the believers, all people who believe in one God are going to join him. And he will, his coming will be close to the end of time. Another major sign that will happen would be the emergence and the coming of the Antichrist. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioned that that Antichrist will be one-eyed. Give some description of him. He'll be very powerful. God will give him so much power. He'll give him like paradise and hellfire with him. And if somebody, for example, asks him for something, he'll give it to him right away. But he said the believers will see on his forehead here, you know, kafir, meaning disbeliever. But people who don't have strong faith, they will be intimidated by him and they will follow him. Because he will command people, like, if you don't follow me, I'm going to kill you. Even some people will ask him to bring their forefather, he will be given so much power. He will just even cut somebody into two halves and bring him back. So much power. So he will be a big trial. And this is why Prophet Muhammad said, there is no trial for humanity worse than the Antichrist. So Jesus, peace be upon him, when he comes back, he's not coming with a new religion, because as we said, there is nothing called a new religion. Like, the religion is Islam from the beginning to the end. What differs of like the way of life? Every time it becomes easier and easier and easier. So his job is going to be to lead the believers, and he's going to, once he comes down, he's going to break the cross to say, I was not crucified, which is like a symbol of crucifixion. And he's going to stop dealing with the jizya. Jizya means the tax that people would give if they don't submit to God. Because he's going to be ruling all over the Muslims or the believers at that time. So he's going to say, it's not going to be accepted anymore. So you have the only choice that you have to submit to God. And then when the Antichrist will go around the world, causing lots of trials, he'll try to come close to where Jesus will be, and Jesus will come out and kill him. And after that, he would live for a very short period, and the prophet said there will be a very gentle breath of air that will take the spirits and the soul of all the believers at the time, and the end of life will not come except the most evil and wicked people will be living at that time.
So
the second part of the question was...
Can I stop you? Can we go on?
We'll get back to you if there's a chance for other questions, but you asked two questions. So the second part of the question, which is, what's the role of Muhammad, peace be upon him, on the Day of Judgment? He will be given a special status. The sun now is 93 million miles away. Again, 93 billion miles away. On the Day of Judgment, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, narrated in one of his traditions, he said, it's going to be 1 mile away. Even the one who narrated the tradition said, I'm not sure whether al-mil, the mile, means the mile, which is 1.6 kilometers, or al-mil alladhi taktahil bil mar'a, you know, what the small thing that the women use to put the black stuff in their eyes called mascara, or what do you call it? Whatever, okay? Whatever she said, okay? So that's called in the Arabic language al-mil, as much as that. So he said, some people, their sweat will be up to their ankles because of the heat of the sun. Some others, their sweat will be up to their knees. Others up to their waists. Others up to their collarbones. Others will be drowning in their sweat. But then he said, seven categories of people will be under the shade of the throne when there will be no shade except the shade of the throne of God. And he mentioned that people who are fair, people, you know, who give charity, people who they are seduced by a woman of authority and beauty, they're going to say, we fear God, we can't do this because this is forbidden. You know, a person who would sit down and remember his sins and he would cry over his sins. You know, two people who love each other for the sake of God, they, you know, they always come to do good, and when they leave, they remind each other to do good. So he mentioned seven categories of people. So he said, at that point, people will wish to go to hellfire, but just to start the Day of Judgment. And that day will be 50,000 years. The Day of Judgment, according to the Quran, is 50,000 years. So people will be like so, you know, going through so much, so they're going to go to the nearest, they can't talk to God directly, they're going to go to the nearest ones to God. So they're going to go to Adam to start with. They're going to say, Adam, you are the father of humanity. God created you with his own hands. So don't you see what we are going through? Why don't you go and intercede for us? So he's going to say, I was commanded not to eat from the tree, but I did. Nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. He's going to send us to Noah. And Noah is going to send us to, it's going to be a chain until, you know, they're going to send us to Moses. And then Moses is going to say, I killed someone by mistake. And we know the story. Until it will come to Jesus. Jesus is the only one, also this is a unique situation, he's not going to mention any sin. Because he was taken up alive when he was 33. So he's not going to mention any sin, but he's going to say, you know what? Go to Muhammad. And this is why the Muslims, they know that for a fact, when they hear the call for prayer, they should repeat after the caller, and at the end they say, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'at al-tamma, wa salat al-qaima, ati Muhammad al-sayyat al-fadila, wa ba'athu Allahumma maqama Muhammad al-da'ata. Just to cut, like, to make a long story short, like, there is a supplication after the call of prayer, after you repeat after the caller, and you ask God to give Muhammad that special status in the Day of Judgment, which is the status of being able to intercede for all humanity to start the Day of Judgment. And he knew from now, or from that time, he was told that he would be the one. But out of humbleness, he said, I wish I would be the one. So always invoke the name of God and ask him that I would be that one. So he's going to go to the throne, and he's going to make prostrate himself. And he said, God is going to teach me certain praises and certain supplications. I'm going to say them. And God is going to say to him, raise your head, ask for whatever you want, you'll be given to it. He's going to say, intercession, I just want the Day of Judgment to start. So the Day of Judgment will start. That's a unique situation for him on the Day of Judgment.
The guy with the cap.
He said Allah is, he's a monotheistic God, right? So from all eternity past, it's been Allah and Allah is one. There's been no wife, no son, nothing, right? Right, it's just him. All of mankind, we all seek after and search for love, the feeling of love and true love. But true love can only be expressed between two or more people. That's the definition of love. Agape love, self-sacrificial love, is something that you have between two or more people. One of the distinctions of Christianity, obviously, is the Trinity.
What is the question?
The question, sorry, I'll get to the question right away. If Allah from all eternity past has been by himself, Allah can be merciful, he can be just, he can be powerful, but ultimately he cannot be loving because
what?
He has nobody to share it with.
What?
I would say his love is an emotion that is shared between one or two, or two or more people.
That's what you think, right?
That's what I think.
How many people agree with him? How many people disagree with him? Raise your hands. Thank you. Let me just tell you something. We are limited. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. When we say God, okay, because we don't say that Allah is a God. Allah is the God. So let me just correct this, okay? Because again, when we say Allah, can you repeat this after me? Say Allah. Yeah, not Allah. Allah. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Allah in Arabic comes from the word ilah. Ilah means a god. Okay? But we add the, which is the definite article, al. So it becomes al-ilah. But not every time we're going to mention, I'm going to say al-ilah. So we took the hamza, which is the ah, out, and we amalgamated the two lambs. So it became Allah, which means the God. When you say a book, it could be any book, right? A man, any man. But when you say the man, it's like you're talking about a different man, right? So when we say Allah, it means the only one true God worthy of worship. Now, for him to be God, he has to be perfect in everything. In everything. He doesn't need any of his creation. So this is why he doesn't need passion or sympathy like you and me. Okay? So, if you have knowledge, is there anyone in the room here who is more knowledgeable than you?
Probably
could be lots of people, right? Okay. If you are wise, you could be wiser than some people in the room. That's right. But are there people in the room who are wiser than you? Okay. Who is the source of all knowledge? Perfect. Who is the source of all wisdom? Who is the source of all power? We can keep going on and on and on. So don't say that he, at any time, he was in need of something. Okay, he doesn't know how to express his emotions because when we think of God, we don't think of him in human terms. And he said in the Quran very clearly, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is none like unto him. So when you think about him, you will go astray. So think about his attributes. That's what our Prophet told us. Because our limited human mind cannot reach to even imagine him. Okay?
I'm very curious as to Mecca itself, and specifically the stone within Mecca that fell from heaven.
Yeah.
I'm really uneducated, and I was just wondering if you could tell me what the purpose of the stone was and why Muslims worship it and worship Mecca and never have their back to it.
Okay, let me just clarify something. We don't worship stones. Okay, and we don't worship Mecca. And we don't worship the Kaaba. Because I was asked this question one time. I was in the park in Toronto. And there were like 25 families, Muslim families. We were just going out for a barbecue. And the funny story is, the time came for the prayer. And in the middle of people praying, you know, basketball, other like you know, playing volleyball, soccer, you know, women chatting, you know, and cooking. In the middle of all of this, a very beautiful voice of a child who was like 9 years old came and he did like this. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, which means God is the greatest. God is the greatest. Once he said this, every single one left everything they are doing, because this is the meaning of it. The translation I gave you, God is the greatest. But the meaning that hits you in the heart is, God is greater than everything. Leave it and come and respond, because it's time to pray. It's real time to worship. So everyone left everything, and we all gathered. There was a young Canadian couple sitting by the lake. So they said, oh, this is the 0 hour. The terrorists are gathering now. They're going to do something. Okay? And guess what? Who is the leader of the terrorists? Okay? So I stood in front and we started praying. Imagine like almost 150 people behind me lining up straightforward lines, and just like said one word. And like they were lined up and we started the prayer. After we finished, that young man came to me and his wife. He said, "Young man, congratulations." I said, "What?" He said, "You guys are very organized." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Man, you were like standing with your back to them doing the physical exercise and they were synchronizing with you. You go down, they go down. You don't even look at them. Now I know that magic word that you say and they follow you." But I have two questions. Why do your guys kiss the ground? And second, what is that magic word, "Man, I'm a military man, it takes me at least 10 minutes to fix a crowd of 150 people. You just said one word, and you turned around, and they were lined up." I said, "The word is istawu, meaning line up. I don't have a magic word, because they know what they're doing. That's number one. Number two, we don't kiss the ground. We show God total submission. And this is how Jibril, peace be upon him, told Prophet Muhammad how to pray. And it's amazing, if you go to the Bible, if you go to any book, it will say, and then Jesus fell on the ground and he prostrated himself to God. And then Moses fell on the ground, if you go back and follow the right book, okay? Fell on the ground and he prostrated to God. So all of them did that. All of them. We're not talking about different versions that are changed every day. We're not talking about this. Okay? So, the question is, do we worship the Kaaba? I go there every year. Every year that we have like something called pilgrimage, Hajj. I go every year. That's one of the blessings of God. I take a group, I lead them, and then we go there and explain everything to them. So, I was met with a Canadian lawyer. I had to do some business with her, and she's like, you know what? I'm convinced that Islam is the truth. 95%. Just two questions. Why do your guys substitute the 360 idols that were around the Kaaba at the time of Muhammad with one, which is the Kaaba itself? You go around it. You know? That's what we do, right? What do? I said, listen. There's a big difference between the belief in the heart and the action that we do. What does this mean? Does any Muslim here in this room believe that the Kaaba, the building, can bring you any benefit or ward off any harm from you?
No.
Anyone? Okay. When we go there, we touch the black stone. If we can kiss it, we can kiss it, right? If not, we touch it. If not, we wave from far away. But even when we do this, do we believe that the black stone, we are worshipping it?
No.
Or it can bring us any benefit?
No.
It can take away from us any harm? That's the belief. You need to correct that. And everybody should know that. And I hope that you will share this with others. Number three, which is very important. And that's the analogy. Analogy, like, this is what I love so much about Jesus, peace be upon him. You don't know how much I love him. Maybe more than you do. Yeah. So, the question is, he used to give parables. And parables make things like very easy. And if you don't mind, before we leave, I'm going to share a very nice story by Jesus, peace be upon him, if you don't mind. Because I love that story. At least it will send you with a message back home. But I said to her, "What do you do for life?" She said, "I'm a lawyer." I said, "Do you have your own office?" She said, "No, I work for a law firm." I said, "What are you wearing now?" She said, "Like, this is the uniform. All of us as lawyers, we have to be dressed like that." I said, "Who commanded you to do this?" She said, "The firm that I work for, and like the court, I can't go without this uniform." I said, "What if you become rebellious? You don't want the paycheck at the end. Just go to the room. It's like, I'm going to come with my pajamas or my training suits or whatever. Okay? Or my shorts." Would they allow her? They might give her a little of attention and then she's going to be fired, right? She said, "I have to listen to my employer because I need the paycheck at the end of the month." Muslims, what do you need at the end of your life? Paradise. What's the way to that? By listening to the commands of your Creator. So God commanded us in the Quran, He said, وَلِيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. One of the rituals that you have to do is to go around, you know, that building. So we follow the command. But we never believe that the building will do anything to us, whether it's benefit or harm. Even, this is the meaning of Islam. Islam means submission without argument. Because you and I will always say, it doesn't make sense. And this is exactly, you know, this is exactly like this. There was a classroom, and the teacher was an atheist. And he said, any Muslims in this class? And a young girl, like, you know, she was intimidated, she was like... I said, like, are you a Muslim? She's like, yes. Stand up. Do you believe in God? She said, yes. Where is He? She said... He said, did you see Him? She said, no. Did you touch Him? She said, no. She said, there's no God. Sit down. She's like, okay. And then she sat down. But then she stood up again. Sir, I have a question for you. She said, go ahead. She said, but please promise me you're not going to be offended. She said, no offense. Go. He's already offended, right? And then she said, do you consider yourself sane? Like, do you have a mind? Of course, yes. Like, where is it? He said, somewhere here. He said, can you see it? He said, no. Can you touch it? He said, no. She said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you. Does this make sense? See what I'm saying? So again, if you look at all the rituals that we do in pilgrimage, they are all paganic. Because the word submission means submit without argument. You know what we do? We kiss a stone, and this is when Umar, the second one to rule the Muslims, he made that strong statement. He said, by God, I kiss you and I know that you are a stone that can bring no benefit, word of no harm, and unless I had seen the Prophet kissing you, I would never kiss you. So why do we do it? Following the Prophet. Because we need paradise, because paradise is behind him and behind Jesus and behind Moses. Is that clear? Okay? Even when we go to another place, you know, where there's nothing except a pillar made of concrete. And this is the symbol of Satan. Okay? And we pick up a piece of paper, like a stone, a small stone, and we throw it at that big stone. It's like, someone came to me and said, what are you doing? I said, we are submitting. God says, do it this way. Because Abraham did it this way. When he was commanded to slaughter his son, he went. And Satan stopped him 3 times. At the exact 3 spots, when we go for Hajj, we stop and do the same thing like Abraham. As if we're saying, oh Satan, we're not going to listen to you anymore. We'll kill you. Okay? But not figuratively. Not physically. Like Jesus could be the Son of God figuratively, meaning He created Him. Like we are all the children of God, as He created us and He takes care of us. But not physically. Okay? So, it's amazing when you go there, you'll find, especially the ladies, they get very emotional. When they stone, you know, that Satan, they don't only stop at the small ones. Sometimes they kick off their slippers. One time even I got stoned myself because I was very close while I was doing it. And like we say when we go there, and they were like stoning from far. I was like, oh, hold on, that's him, not me. This is your time. Thank you so much for coming.
I have a question concerning the review of the books about the prophets. I don't necessarily understand what the narrative is there, but I understand it also. So that's just a point of not understanding. So my question is, how do you affirm the authority of each of the messengers before Muhammad, the line of Jesus, and Moses, yet do not affirm all that is within their books?
Can you repeat the last statement, please?
Yet do not affirm all that is.
How can we confirm? Or how do we accept the authenticity?
How do you accept the authenticity of
the Quran?
No, of the. Of each of the prophets.
Oh, okay.
Yet,
do not accept some of the doctrines that would say the Christians as people of the book would accept from their book.
Oh, okay.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's a very good question. That's a deep one. I'm waiting for this one. Okay. Now, the question is, how come that we accept the fact that Muslims should believe in all prophets? And if they deny accepting one of them, they're not Muslims. Yet, there are certain doctrines that we do not accept, even though they are mentioned in the books of those prophets or messengers. Okay? You need to understand two facts. First, the Torah was revealed in what language?
Hebrew.
Okay? And the Injil, the Gospels, the Good News, whatever you call it.
Aramaic.
Okay. The Quran was revealed in which language?
Arabic.
Arabic, okay? Arabic, okay? So, these three languages, if you study linguistics, they fall under the same family of languages. They're called Semitic languages. Okay? Now, let's go back and ask the question. Do we have the Torah that was given to Moses in Hebrew in its form in our hands today? Say yes or no. Thank you so much. So we don't have it in our hands. Number two, do we have the Injil, the book that was given to Jesus Christ up in heaven, that was revealed to him in Aramaic, in our hands now? Say yes or no.
No, I might add a point. You might add a clarification.
Yeah.
In the Christian view, the book is not the revelation of God, but Jesus himself.
This is another thing. Okay. This is another thing. Okay. Because you're asking about the authenticity and how we accept and how we don't accept. So I'm giving you my view. Do we have the Quran that was revealed in Arabic more than 14 centuries ago in our hands today? In Arabic. Same language. Same 114 chapters. No single change of one word. Can anybody say yes?
Yes.
Can anybody from the non-Muslims say yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, next question. This is the authenticity, right? What you have in your hands now of the Torah or the Injil is a translation of a translation of a translation. I've been an interpreter and translator with the United Nations for the last 20 years. I translated a number of books. Ask me as an expert in translation. When we translate from the source language to target language, at least 15 to 20% of the message is lost. And there is nothing called two identical words within one language, let alone when we translate from one language into another language. So much is lost in between. Is that clear? Third question was, the Injil written at the lifetime, and I want to say the lifetime when Jesus was on earth, because we don't believe that he was crucified or he died. When he was on earth, was it written down during his life on earth at that time? The answer, according to all historians, no. It was written, the most authentic narration said, at least 400 years after he was taken up alive, according to the belief of the Muslims, or after he was crucified, according to the belief of the Christians. Okay? And it was written by some people that we don't know even their last name until today. Matthew. Matthew who? We still don't know. Okay? So, let me just continue. If I were to write a letter, or I come today, and I'm introduced to you like, you know, my name is Rida. Like, Rida who? Just Rida is enough. There are like millions of people called Rida. Okay? I have to give you a full name, so you can check the authenticity of who I am and where I'm coming from, and that, you know, the university that I graduated from is 1,000 years old. The university, not me, okay? So, the question here is, the Quran was written down written down at the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Okay? And the Quran was transmitted to us as Muslims and to the whole world as they know in two forms. A written form and a recited form, which is like, we would say like a written form and an oral form. The Quran was memorized, was taken to heart by hundreds of the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Today, it's memorized by millions of Muslims. And you will be amazed. I can bring you some people, might be amongst the audience now, who don't speak an Arabic word, and they memorize the whole Quran. 604 pages. Just push the button, they're going to go like this. Alif, Lam, Mim, Dalik al-Kitab, wa la rayba fi huda lil-muttaqin. Stop, chapter 23. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun, alladhina hum. They're going to go like that. Because God, and that's what made me a Muslim when I was 16 years old. I was born and raised as a Muslim. But you come at some point of your time, like, you know, start pushing things. At the age of 16, I read chapter 15, verse number 9. It says, O Muhammad, we have sent this reminder, meaning the Quran, to you, and we will preserve it from change or distortion. I said, as long as this book is going to be preserved, I'm following it. The day it will be distorted or changed, I'm not going to follow it. It has been preserved since then until today. And every single time some people try to play games, move a word, move even a dot, it's scrutinized and people will say, burn this copy because it's not the right one. Because God promised that He will preserve. So what I'm saying is, if what the Quran to everyone makes perfect sense, do you know where Islam is the largest or the fastest growing religion today? Where? Where? In North America and Europe, where people are against it. And they always say Islam was spread by the force, or Islam was spread by the sword. I don't know, like, we're not spreading cheese or anything, but like, the question is, like, you know, are the Muslims strong enough today to have a sword in their hands, to put it on the neck of Canadians or Americans and say, accept Islam, otherwise I'll kill you? Have you seen this? Do you know where is the largest Muslim community on earth today? It's not Egypt. I wish. It's not Saudi Arabia. It's not Turkey. It's Indonesia. Go back to history. Can you tell me in history who went to Indonesia and forced the Indonesians to be Muslims? It was by the good manners of the people who accepted Islam and lived Islam as a way of life. Yes, there are some Muslims who might do something wrong, but I'm saying Muslims, not Islam. And we have from the beginning to differentiate between Islam as a faith, which is the faith of all prophets, as I said again, and some people who claim to be following the faith without practicing it, as so many Christians. When Timothy McVeigh did what he did in Oklahoma, he's a Christian, right? But you have never heard in the news, a Christian terrorist is behind the explosion in Oklahoma. You know what they did in the breaking news? Because I was there. Not in the building, because I'm still alive, okay? But the breaking news was like this. They said, three gentlemen with black hair and black eyes are behind the explosion. Wow. And then all of a sudden, after 2 hours, they said, Timothy McVeigh didn't mention Christianity, didn't mention terrorism, didn't even say, they said they're black hair and black eyes. They didn't say green eyes and green hair. They didn't say that.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Why? That's a question. This is called prejudice. This is called bias. Okay? So again, we check the authenticity through history. Through history. So the Quran, and this is why I was speaking in Islamic Awareness Week 3 years ago in Calgary, and the topic was Jesus is a Muslim. And one of the young brothers following Christianity, and when I say brother, he is my brother in humanity because my father is Adam, and his father is Adam. His mother is Eve, and my mother is Eve. And as I said before, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? So, he asked me a question. He said, are you telling me that the only authentic book is the Quran, and it's the only right book? I said, can I ask you a question before I answer this? He said, yes. I said, if we were to take all the books and throw them in the ocean, I can claim very easily that there is only one book that will come back. Do you know which one? Yeah. Thank you so much. You know why? You know why? Because it's in my heart. And it's in the hearts of millions of Muslims. Many times I would sit in a dialogue. A rabbi would be to my right, and a pastor would be to my left. And every time I say, chapter 2, verse 2, 5, 6. And then when the rabbi talks, it's like, what is this? He said, like, man, you're like, you know, this spirit. You know, and when I ask the pastor, like, where is this in your books? Like, you know, I don't memorize. So you are preaching a book that you don't know. You're teaching a book that you're not sure of the authenticity. So you base all your life on something that could be hazardous. See what I'm saying? And faith is the most important thing in the life of a person. How can I base my faith on something that's not authentic? So if all the prophets before Jesus, you know, came and they never said that God needed a son, why all of a sudden God would need a son? Why not before him? If he is the Savior, what about the people who came before him and the people that came to them? They wouldn't be saved? I mean, there are so many things that will confuse you. And the most fragile concept in Christianity is this, because it was introduced, according to the belief of the Muslims, was introduced later on after Jesus. He never said that. And this is why the Quran, when the Quran confirms this, and God said, did you tell the people to take you as God? He said, I never said that. And I have no right to say anything that I don't know of. I told them what you told me, to worship you alone. Does this make perfect sense to everyone? That's why we accept it and we reject other than this.
Okay, we're going to take...
Yeah. Okay. What language does God speak? What language does Allah speak?
All languages.
So why was his word only revealed in Arabic?
It was revealed in Aramaic, it was revealed in Hebrew, it was revealed in every...
Why is the Quran the only true...
Am I answering?
You answered me and now I'm asking you.
No, but you just let me finish, right?
Okay.
So, I said every single prophet was sent to his own people. Is that clear? Okay? And his message and even the miracles that supported him to prove that he was a messenger ended with him. Is that clear? If you go to chapter 14, I'm talking about the Quran. Okay, verse number 4. God said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We have never sent a messenger except in their own language so that they can understand him. What was the language that Muhammad spoke?
Arabic.
Chinese? Arabic, right? And he was sent to start with? To the Arabs. And what were the two superpowers of his time? Okay, go back and study this. It was the Romans and Persians. Okay? In 30 years, the whole world was a Muslim. And these people learned that language. Am I saying, for you to accept Islam, you have to learn Arabic? How many here? Like, you know, let's talk about the reverts. Those who reverted. Do you know Arabic?
No.
Are you fine? Okay, and are you learning more and more? Okay, so the question is, the book is in Arabic, okay, because it was sent to Arabs and it was sent to a messenger who speaks Arabic. If Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in China, the Quran would be in Chinese. If he was in Canada, it would be in English and French. You know the people in Quebec, they're going to get mad at me. Okay? So, again, it's in the language that the people can understand. Okay? Now, ask anyone here. I want the brothers and sisters who are Muslims but not Arabs, raise your hands. Are you moved by the Quran when you hear it? Even though you don't know it. I'll share a personal story with you. I was flying from Winnipeg. I was teaching a class in the weekend in Winnipeg 2 weeks ago. On the plane, the flight attendant came. And there was a lady sitting next to me and she was so scared. Like, just like the way I look scared her. Thanks to the media. Okay? And then the flight attendant came and I looked at him. I was like, you know, he looks like an Arab. But it was a guess. He could be like Latino because they look like us too sometimes. Okay. But then I looked at him and I said, I just wanted to break the ice with her because she was so scared. And she's like, she's holding the book and she's sitting like this. I just wanted to tell that I'm a human being, you know? We don't eat humans, you know? We're just like people. So I said to him, can I make a guess? He said, okay, go ahead. I said, you are from Africa, and you are from Northwest Africa. He was like, yes. I said, can I make another guess? He said, yes. I said, now I'm limiting it to Tunisia, Algeria, and Morocco. You're from Algeria. He said, yes. And she was like, uh-huh. I said, how did you know this? You know? And then, again, I started, you know, the Quran. I have it in my mind. Can you just bring it up? Because I just want you to live the experience yourself. Just my see what it's like. I got my phone and I started listening to the Quran. Just give it like a few seconds. And once it started, she left the book. She almost like was just listening. And then she like, what is this? I said, my lyrics? That's what will make sense to her. Like if I say the Quran, it's like, oh, okay. Something that she doesn't understand, right? And then after it came on, I said, if you would like to listen to some, go ahead. And I gave her the phone. Guess what? Do you want to know the end of the story? Come next year to the Islamic Awareness. That's my style always. But anyway, I said to her, take it. She didn't give it back to me until we had to land. And the flight attendant came and said, like, sir, you have to turn this off. And all the time she was putting, like, you know, the headset in her ears, like, you know, and she was going like this. And I said, what? She said, very peaceful, very soothing. I said, do you know Arabic? She said, no. It's amazing that I even was asked to speak, like him to speak in an event for 3 minutes. They said, we need a rabbi, a pastor, a Buddhist, a Muslim, to say something about patience, because people who lost a beloved one or something just want to share something from every faith. When I read verses from 153 to 157 in chapter 2, I said, I'm going to read them in Arabic first, before I'm going to read them in English. The pastor who was sitting there started crying. And I asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, man, I don't know what's the thing that you did to me. I couldn't control my body. And my tears came out. But still, again, the logic behind it, it was because the language of the messenger and the people to whom it was sent. That's the basic reason. And then, because it's the last book and it's a universal message, so you will notice that so many people that I know of who are not Arabic speaking, what's your wish if you have time? I'm always approached by this. I want to come to Egypt. I want to go to Medina. I want to go back home and study because they want to appreciate. But still, this is a translation of the meaning. It will never give you the full meaning. It can never be accurate. We don't even accept the fact that it is English Quran or Spanish Quran. You know, we say it's a translation of the meaning. It will help you to get the feel of the Quran. But if you really want to understand and feel the Quran, it's in Arabic.
At least one guy. He had his hand up for a while.
Okay.
I have two more.
I was just going to say... So you don't gospels and stuff that teach about just being the son of God and him being God incarnate in the flesh. You don't believe that because you think the translation has pretty much been altered. Is that your position? Just the first part.
That's one thing. I'm just like talking logically, and I'm trying to make sense of how it came into being. But the basic and the bottom line is that God denied this in the book that was revealed to Muhammad.
In the Bible, like in one of the Gospels, which you said that the Muslims are supposed to read and follow, it says...
we're supposed to read and follow the Gospel?
Didn't you say that...
No, we said we believe in the book. Let me just make the statement clear. We believe in the book that was revealed to Jesus, we believe in the book that was revealed to Moses before it has been changed. And when the Quran came, and I didn't make this like silly because this is not our topic, but when the Quran came, the Quran supersedes all the books. We don't need to go back to them anymore.
But just, okay, then here's where I say there's a problem. In the Quran chapter 6, verse 34, part of that verse says, there is none that can alter the words and decrees of Allah. So if no one can change the words of God, then how could there be a change in these Gospels?
Because it's not the word of God. Very simple.
It's
the word of human beings. No. Let me just clarify this. The verse that you mentioned is like لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Okay? There is no Allah. This is a statement by God saying no one can change the words of God. Do we believe that somebody's name, Matthew, we don't know his last name, and he wrote something, we believe in that and say this is the word of God? No. No, this is not the word of God. So what I'm saying is, you know, the Quran in its form now in the Arabic language is the word of God. Do everybody here who is a Muslim believe in that? Okay, the other question is, when it comes to any other book, even at the time of the Prophet, I'll give you an incident. At the time of the Prophet, one of his followers, and not anyone, is the second one to lead the Muslims after he died. His name is Umar ibn al-Khattab. He came at one time because he was literate. He knows how to read and write. The Prophet himself was illiterate. He doesn't know how to read and write. And that was a miracle in itself. Because they would have said, oh, he's a poet, he made it up. He lived amongst them for 40 years, he doesn't know how to read and write. And yet, his own words, I have a PhD in linguistics, whenever I go and study his words, I go and look them up in the dictionary, in the Arabic language. So what I'm trying to say here is this. The main point is, when it comes to the Quran, all Muslims believe that the Quran is the word of God. When Umar came to the Prophet, he had some book of the Torah, like some parts of the Torah, the book that was revealed to Moses. And he wanted to read from them. The Prophet's face turned red, which means he was angry. He said, what do you have in your hands? He said, this is something from Torah. He said, Umar, if Moses, peace be upon him, were alive today, he would just follow me. He would follow my book because my book supersedes all the other books. It's exactly like, you know, when you have an update today. Okay? So, for example, I'll give you just an example of even the Sharia to understand the intricacy of the theology itself. There's something called Deen and there's something called Sharia. Deen means like the principles and the concepts. One God, this is your salvation, you have to submit to Him. You can't argue with Him. How would you apply this in life? This is the Sharia that was different from one to the other. For example, at the time of Moses, peace be upon him, if somebody's clothing will have impurity on them, they have only two options. Either to burn that part or to cut it off. It was very tough. When Jesus, peace be upon him, came, he said, وَلُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. The Quran says, when Jesus, peace be upon him, he said, I'm going to make things that were forbidden for you to be allowed and lawful for you to make your life easier. If somebody at the time of Moses wants to repent and ask God for forgiveness, you know what they used to do? Kill themselves. And then God will bring them back to life. Go back to chapter number 2. It says, فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Yeah.
Okay.
Turn back to God. You know, I'm always quoting my book. I'm not going to quote another book. When I quote another book, just to support that what I'm saying is also true, even though I don't believe in that book. Okay? So, he said, فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Turn back in repentance to your Creator by killing yourself. And then he said, then we recreated you out of, you know, grace, so that you may come back. But when Muhammad came, he made it even easier and easier. If you want to repent, just say, I'm sorry, God. I don't need any intermediary between me and God. I don't need anyone. It's like, you know, I'm sorry. And I mean it from the heart, and I cry. Even those tears that will come out of my eyes will make my eyes forbidden to be touched by hellfire, if I'm sincere.
Last question. And
yeah.
Then
yeah.
I have two. One semantic and one prophetic.
Okay.
May I talk? Okay. With regards to semantic, when you say Jesus is a Muslim, and when you say Muslim, you mean
something to God, correct?
I'm calling for the same message like all messengers, because we believe that the message of all messengers, the message of all prophets, from Adam to Muhammad, and who is in between, they came to tell people there is only one God, and it's very simple. Submit to him, this is your salvation.
So with that, could that mean that any honest theist, particularly in the Abrahamic tradition, so Jew, Christian, Muslim alike, could be called a Muslim?
As long as they follow the book.
And the book being the Quran, or...
As I said, if you heard the last statement that I made, I said, when the Quran, people who followed Moses at his time, they're called Muslims. People who followed Jesus when he was on earth, they're called Muslims and they went to paradise. And they're our brothers, in faith and in humanity. But people who live today, the Quran told us and the Prophet told us, if they don't follow the last revelation that corrected all the misconceptions, they are not Muslims. Because again, Muslims, meaning, let's go back to the pure message of all prophets, which is, there is only one God, the Creator. We established this from the beginning. We said, do you believe in a Creator? He said, yes. The Creator is all-powerful, almighty, all-wise, all-perfect. He doesn't need an advisor. If there's a counterpart, then he is not worthy of being God. He doesn't need a son, he doesn't need a wife, he doesn't need anyone. He's the Creator, he's the first. He doesn't need anyone. So if we go back to this, then you're a Muslim.
And my second question, you know how Jesus has somewhat of a privileged spot in your religion as the Messiah, as someone who averted death unlike other prophets.
With the permission of God, not on his own. That's the only difference. Because any, as I said before, any messenger, I can come today to London, I live in Edmonton, and I say, I'm the new messenger. You know when I said this last week in Toronto? Right away, it was a Muslim class, okay? One lady said, liar. Right away. And I was not offended, because I have to prove it. If I say I'm a messenger, and then I said, no, I have a message from Edmonton for you. So I saved myself. But again, when I say messenger, meaning I'm coming from God with a new message, they're going to say, prove it. So when Jesus, peace be upon him, came to the people, I'm a messenger, they said, come on, what do you mean? You were born of a mother. We saw you growing. Okay? So how can you prove that? He said, okay, God is going to support me with things. And that's the story that I'm going to share with you now, if you don't mind.
Could I finish the
question?
So, given that sort of privileged spot, why is there, culturally today, a big focus on Muhammad? I'm thinking, for instance, to the Danish cartoons back in 2005, where there was a bit of a reaction to the depiction of Muhammad. I suppose, why Muhammad? Such a big focus on him? And also, are you against any depictions of any prophets, or is it just Muhammad?
Of course. We hold all prophets and messengers in high esteem. You remember, if you focused on the verse that I referred to, go home, if you have a translation of the meaning of the Quran, check chapter 2, verse 285. Yeah. Part of it, you know, it starts with, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ And then it said, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ وَرُسُلِهِ We do not discriminate when it comes to any of his messengers. They're all the same, have the same respect, have the same high level of, you know, esteem amongst the Muslims. If somebody did this to Jesus, the Muslims would be the first one to come out and say, stop doing it. Am I right or right?
Right.
First right, second or both? You see? Every Muslim will come to say, no. And even they were talking about this. They were talking about, like, there's a movie that's going to come out, and they're going to be, again, it's going to be very offensive to Jesus. Muslims started talking from now. They said, we're going to be the first one to come out. Moses, the same thing. Because we have respect for all of them. And the heed that Muhammad, peace upon him, is getting today is because people today, again, what is the religion of the whole world today? If I may quote the word, it's secularism. Which means God created the world, but he doesn't take care of it anymore. So what you need to do, if you feel so spiritual, go to the church, sing, do whatever you want, come out, do whatever you want. So are you a servant of God or are you a servant of your desires? People are enslaved to a system today, where you follow the man-made law and you stay away from the divine law. Because God said, I created you, I know you, I know what fixes you. And he gave us the recipe. And every day we say, why do we have lots of drug addiction? Because there are drugs everywhere. Why do people smoke? Because we give them cigarettes and say, smoking can lead to cancer. Enjoy. See you in the hospital. Isn't this the case? Do not drink and drive. Why not? Do not drink. Full stop. It will save us from lots of mistakes. I was driving my car one time, and there was like a car accident. There was like a line of cars. And then like, you know, we get filled up sitting in the car. So I went to the front. It was really hilarious because the sign said there exactly at the accident. Right there. It says, can you read it? It says, do not drink and drive. So I put my hand there and I called the policeman. I said, can we omit this part? Guaranteed we wouldn't have this accident because the guy was drunk and he ended up dying and killing 5 people. Because he was drunk. He chose with his own free will to drink. And we helped him to do that. And then we cried it out. I'll ask you a question. If you have a DVD player made by Sony, okay, and then something wrong happens to it, where do you take it? To a technician, a plumber, electrician? Where would you take it? A mechanic?
Someone who could repair it.
They could, right? But who's the best one to fix it right away? The agency, the Sony. If you take it to Sony, it's just going to open. It's like, oh man, you just have to take this part with this part. Done. We took it home. But we got to charge you $50, okay? And the whole thing is $40. Anyway, the question is, who created man? Who? God. Who can fix man? God. So when there's something wrong with man, we should take him back to whom? But we take him to man. Man will never fix a man. That's the problem today. That's the problem today. We have a whole law that tells us how to lead a happy life here and there. And this one is very short. But we choose with our own free will to suffer and say, there's no light. There's no light. No. Take your hands down. There is light. But follow the light. Just go to the light and follow the light.